April is National Bilingual and Multilingual Learner Advocacy Month. That's why we're so excited to tell you about a new special series from Science of Reading, the podcast, that will launch later this month. Over several episodes, we'll talk to leading researchers and practitioners about how the science of reading serves multilingual and English learners, and how to best use the science of reading to support those students in the classroom. That's all starting at the end of this month. Stay tuned to this feed for more.
Welcome to Science of Reading, the podcast. I'm your host, Susan Lambert. As the reading science movement continues to grow, even during this unprecedented time, it's so important to stay focused on what it takes to develop confident and capable readers. As we've learned, change can happen fast. That makes it even more important to stay connected and learn from each other. The more we learn and listen, the more prepared we'll be to lead. Together, let's voice challenges and take action. On today's episode, I had the privilege of speaking with two amazing guests, Tamara and Justin, who are both currently interning with Amplify. They share how they overcame some challenging beginnings in reading instruction to have successful post-secondary experiences. They reflect on those experiences, talk about access to resources outside of regular schooling, and provide some advice based on their experience. Tamara and Justin, I'm so excited to have both of you on the episode. It's rare that we get to do an episode with three people, me and two others. But before we begin, I thought that I'd just have you introduce yourself quick, and then we'll turn to talk a little bit about your experiences growing in literacy. So Tamara, how about you first? A quick introduction.
So, hi, everyone. My name is Tamara. I'm a recent graduate of Stanford University. I'm born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and that's pretty much me right now. I'm working at Amplify on various projects.
Great. And Justin?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Justin Pita. I'm currently a junior at the University of Pennsylvania. I'm originally from Chicago, and I'm a current DEI intern for Amplify CKLA.
That's awesome. And we heard of your both of your stories through the process of interning with Amplify. We've just been really excited to have you with us, and have you share both your expertise and then join us on the podcast today. So, you know, as I said in the introduction, at Amplify, we really talk a lot about the science of reading. And what do we mean by the science of reading? It's this idea that kids really need two things in terms of their development. They need to understand how to decode words or lift the words off the page. We call that word recognition. And then we also know that they have to have a development of language comprehension, which really starts in the oral environment with both background knowledge building and vocabulary. And the reason I wanted both of you on the episode at the same time is because I think your stories really reflect, you know, one, an issue of the word recognition side. Tamara will talk about that in a minute. And then with Justin, this idea of building background knowledge and being aware of opportunity. So I'm going to turn to Tamara first. Tamara, I would love if you could share with us your experiences in elementary school with learning how to read and literacy.
I would love to. So starting, my reading experience has been up and down, but starting in first grade, I had started school late, and so I didn't really know how to read at all, or like did the sight words or anything that any kid goes into first grade knowing how to do. So I remember going into class the first day, and we had a spelling test, and the teacher was just going around. She was like, spell cat. Spell like regular words that like I knew, like I could, like I heard them before, I just never knew what they looked like on paper. And so it got to a point where my teacher, she realized I wasn't doing anything and that I didn't know how to read, and she had called my grandmother, and my grandmother was like, yeah, this is her first time in school, she doesn't really have that background. And the teacher told her that it was too late in the year to go back and teach me how to read. And so I just passed through first grade, got to second grade, still didn't know how to read, but I was good at math. So everyone, they kind of just left me alone. They were like, she's doing one thing. Does she really need the other thing? Oh. And then I finally got to third grade when I had this teacher, Miss Suggs, and she was just like, "You can't read at all. Like, how can you not read?" And like, she tried to help me a little bit, but she also had like 20 other kids in the class. So I still couldn't read, but like, I started to learn like the sounds and like how to pronounce an A or like how to pronounce a B. And then finally, my aunt, she did teach for America, and so she had gotten placed at this charter school in Brooklyn. And they were opening up for a new class, and so I did the lottery. Luckily, I got in. And when I got there, it was by then it was fifth grade, and I really didn't know how like to put sentences together. I was still reading like Dick and Jane. And so they had talked to my grandmother, and like I got extra time after class where like I would go sit with a teacher and like pronounce stuff, learn how to read. And then my grandma, they also pointed her to resources because they were like, she can't do everything now. And they wanted me to like catch up to where I was at everyone else in the fifth grade. And so she was like, you can go to places, because it was this place called Kooman, and the guy's name was John. And so every Saturday I would go see John, and we would do math and reading, and he would help me with my grammar, help me with my pronunciation. And eventually it got to a point where by the end of sixth grade, I was actually above my reading level. So I think I was supposed to be at like a Y or one of the letters before, but I was actually at a Z plus. So like reading just took off for me. I started reading Twilight books. I was reading all the sagas. Like Pretty Little Liars were my favorite little series, and I was just speeding towards the books. And my mom was just like, "But you couldn't read like 2 years ago." And I was like, "No, I can't stop reading." So.
So I have to stop you for just a minute because your story starts in first grade, and I don't know if you know this or not, but there's actually some pretty good research that tells us that first grade is an indication of what your future reading is going to be like. And so it's interesting to me that the teacher, and you can you say this again? The first grade teacher told you it's too late?
Yeah, she told my grandmother, because my grandmother was like, "So can you go back and like help her?" And she was just like, "There's too many other kids in the class who are where they're supposed to be. She can't waste her time going back to teach me."
Wow. And so, do you recall at all? I mean, it's just amazing to me that you remember the experience of that spelling test and knowing the words, but not being able to figure out, what did you say? You couldn't figure out what they looked like? Is that right?
Yeah, because she was just like, say cat and stuff. And like, my grandma, like, I grew up with cats and I grew up with dogs. So, like, I knew what the things were. But, like, to actually sit down and be like, okay, cat is CAT. Like, to write those letters down, I didn't know what any of that meant. So, like, I'm just looking around. I remember seeing all the other kids, like, all excited, just like writing down their 10 words. And I'm looking around. And I'm like, what does cat look like? Like, how do you spell cat? And like, other people are writing it down. And at a point, I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. So, I just stopped.
You just stopped. And then you said that sort of experience continued into a second and third grade. Do you ever remember a time when at all anybody tried to, a teacher tried to help you understand that letters made, represented sounds or?
Yeah, but it was like really, it wasn't like a teaching kind of way. Like Miss Suggs, my third grade teacher, like she was the first person like to actually sit down and be like, this is how you pronounce it. Like other teachers were just like, how do you not know how to pronounce this letter by now? Like the sound is odd. Like how can you not do that? And like to me, it wasn't clicking why they were so upset. And then they just left it. So I was just like, if I could like, I understand what I is, but I don't like understand how to put that together. Like to read the book and like you're asking me to read it. I can't do that. But if you ask me a sound, like at a point I got to the sound, it was putting it together and like actually making the word and then seeing the word on paper.
And then do you remember, so you said you went from this moment of, so that in that like quick 4 minutes, you went from this moment of, I'm a first grader, I can't read, nobody actually taught me how to read. In third grade, they identified I'd had an issue. What do you like? When do you remember a moment when all of a sudden it started to click? Like all of a sudden, oh, I get that. Letters represent the sounds that we make, and this is how you put them together.
It was actually like working with the Kumin, my Kumin instructor, John, because like he was one of those instructors. Like, if you didn't get it, you didn't move on until you got it. So, like, if he wanted the B pronounced buh and like you said it anyway, but the buh, you'll sit there and you'll say it 10, 100 times until you got it. And so it was just like working with him where I was like at a point where he'll be like, read this for me. I remember like I read my first sentence and he was like, you did it. And then after a while, it just got better and better to the point where like I had gotten a certificate from Kumin because I was mastering like the little worksheets that they gave us so fast. And I remember at first I was mad at it because I was just like, I wasn't used to getting like that kind of like reading recognition. So I was like, this is what nerds do. Like, why am I reading now? I don't want this. I remember I came home and I crumpled it up and my grandma was like, why are you so upset? And I was like, well, all these years, like, I didn't know how to read. And now that I was learning how to read, I was kind of upset about it, but I don't know why I was upset about it. But I, that's the first feeling I had towards it, where I was just like, maybe I don't want this. And then I got to fifth grade where like I started to read more, and I guess maybe it was the pizza party prize that they used to give out, like the Pizza Hut things when you reach your level, where I was like, maybe that's why I like reading a little bit more than I did before. But that was the moment where, like, just sitting down with John and, like, hearing the letters and, like, seeing him check off the stuff and, like, reading my sentences to him.
That's interesting that it was almost – unlocking that was almost a little scary for you, it sounds like. Not sure what that meant. Interesting. We'll get back to more of your story in a minute. Let's turn to Justin. And, Justin, I'd love if you could share with us a little bit about your experiences then in elementary school with learning to read.
Yeah, so, you know, I grew up on the southwest side of Chicago and went to a public school all of elementary and middle school. And, you know, essentially I kind of look back and, you know, I kind of really think about, you know, what happened during those years and, you know, was there ever a moment where I officially was like, okay, well, now I know how to read, right? And I really don't think that, you know, there's like a distinct moment that I can remember, but I think that definitely growing up, there was always like a really broad range in terms of the levels of like literacy of like different students, right? So I think there was a lot of students who were struggling to keep up and, you know, I guess to have like the grade level literacy level. But then there were also a lot of students who were really, really fluent and really, really good at reading. And, you know, I always thought of myself as like, I guess, in the average, right? Like at the time, I was a really big math nerd. So I didn't really think about, you know, needing to read or really needing advanced like literacy or anything like that or skills and stuff like that. And also at the time, you know, a lot of my teachers weren't really teaching us like literacy skills or grammar like pretty consistently, right? I do remember learning grammar or opening up our grammar books like once every couple months, right? And I think, you know, when I look back at it, I didn't really know how to use certain, you know, certain punctuations or didn't really know how to pronounce really long words until the later half of those years and until I really got into high school and, you know, I needed to know a lot of these punctuations, right? And so, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, it wasn't until like seventh and eighth grade, you know, when I got into, this like external academic enrichment program called HiGEM Chicago. And they really kind of like laid the bridge down for students like me, right. Who, were kind of not necessarily like the top of the class, but, you know, we're pretty high up there. And, you know, in some ways, you know, I think I felt like I was sitting in the back of the classroom and, you know, there was nothing else I could learn. But it was more so that, you know, the teachers weren't necessarily showing us or teaching us everything that we could learn surrounding literacy and grammar and things like that. You know, I guess for me, you know, the big wake up call for me was when I finally did get into high school and they were teaching me, or kids were using commas and semicolons and, you know, you name it. And at the time, I actually had no clue how to really use this in a sentence, right? And I was just, you know, plugging in commas wherever I wanted. And, you know, it wasn't until my teacher stopped me and was like, you know, okay, let's go through these grammar rules. You know, let's go through these, you know, rules that she expected every student to know at the time, that I really got those skills and really, you know, those became foundational moving forward. But it definitely took until high school to learn all that.
And what was the difference between your elementary, middle school experience and high school experience? Didn't you go to a different high school? Do I remember that right?
Yeah. So, you know, through HiGEM, they were able to open a lot more doors for me. You know, and it was, I actually ended up going to a private school across the city, right? And so it would take me an hour and 15, an hour, 30 minutes each day to get there. And I would be waking up at like, you know, 6 a.m. to try to get to school. But at the time, when I first started doing that, no student in my neighborhood had done that, right? I actually do have a twin brother, and he was like the only other student that was actually, taking this trip at the time. And so sorry. And basically, I kind of like became aware that there was this like gap in opportunities for students, right? Like I grew up in a predominantly Mexican community, right? So a lot of the students there, their first language was Spanish, right? And so I could see that a lot of those challenges in terms of literacy, probably came and stemmed because whether it was like the bilingual program or whether it was something like that, that they didn't quite catch all these students up to speed, right? Like I was seeing that across the city, all these other students, right, in predominantly white neighborhoods and really affluent areas, they weren't just learning literacy skills and grammar skills in English, right? They were able to, take French classes, and they were able to take Latin classes and all these other options that, just weren't available for students at my school, right? And so I guess, for a while, I kind of saw this opportunity gap and kind of really saw that there were major differences in education across the city. And I think growing up, a lot of my, textbooks, a lot of my reading notebooks and, textbooks and activity books, they were always like hand-me-downs, right? Like there were always, I think I clearly remember in 6th and 7th and 8th grade, like I was using the same textbook for all 3 years. So, by the time I graduated, I knew that textbook from like front to back, and had the same homework written down for like 2 or 3 years, and I was reusing homework at that point. So yeah, that kind of shows, I guess, the quality of our textbooks and different things like that, but.
Yeah, and so that moment of you realizing that maybe I didn't learn all the have access to all the background knowledge I needed, or all the grammar, or and did you find that you had to put extra time in? Was it teachers that helped you?
I mean, I think a lot of that was a lot of my own extra time, right? I think it was a lot of me, whether it was like writing an essay, and getting a lot of revisions around that. I think I definitely knew that I was like behind in terms of my grammar skills, right? I definitely knew that, when kids are using all these other punctuations and, semicolons and different things, like I just had no real idea of how to use that in my own writing, right? And it wasn't until I was reading a lot more during high school, and I was submitting more papers, that I kind of took the initiative to like really learn how to use these in my own writing. Yeah, just because at the time, in middle school and elementary school, we just weren't learning it at all. And I think I remember we were learning grammar specific literacy skills, like literally it was like once every 2 months, once every 3 months. And we were just kind of behind in that sense. I don't know if it was because we focused too much on math or science or what it was, but it definitely was really like disproportionate in terms of teaching time.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Justin. I appreciate it. I'd like to transition a little bit then to, some reflection, because I know both of you have, been very successful in your schooling career and in terms of your education. And I'm just wondering if you think back on those experiences that you had, both positive and challenging, how do you think that shaped who you are now, in terms of maybe how you've made it through your educational career, or how you are as readers and writers? We know that reading is, hugely important to all of our lives. But let's transition a little to reflection. So Tamara, maybe we can start with you as you look back on those experiences. How do you think that has shaped your current experience?
I think it shaped my current experience a lot, because like now I have a lot of like little cousins who are now going to school, because I have a younger brother, but he has autism. So like I always knew like our trajectories were different, so I never like really pushed school onto him. But like now that I have little cousins, we're always talking about school. Like I'm always trying to get them to read, or like they're telling me what they're reading. And I think it's really cool. Like even working for Amplify, like when I saw the job and like I saw the description was when I was intern, they wanted to put more of like diverse figures into like the history, like into the history and like the curriculum that they were teaching. I was just like, I have to do that, because I remember my first class in college where like actually learning about people who looked like me was in college. It was African American Woman's Life, and I just remember sitting in the class and I was like, how come I never read The Incidents of the Slave Girl? Like, how do I not know about all these people who did great things? Like, no one talks about them. Like, we have one little section in like a textbook, but like no one tells you all the other great names and what they were doing. And so I like it's just important to me, like always has been important to me, like to help other kids like learn how to read. I remember just always tutoring other kids. But I think it also prepared me for going to a place like Stanford, 'cause just like when you're there, like you go to school with people who are winning Olympic gold medals, and like you always feel like you're two steps behind. Coming from like a charter school in Brooklyn, and there's kids who like they're Steve Jobs' daughter. They've been learning French since they were little. Like they have this money, like and all these resources to do the things that you couldn't do. And I guess like just knowing that I started behind and I ended up at Stanford, I was just like, there's no way that I'm here now, and like I can't continue to push myself. So like when days got hard, I always been like, what would you tell yourself back then? You could do it. So like if you could do it, not knowing how to read, and like you got here. There's like literally nothing that you can do. And I think that's the biggest lesson that I took from that whole thing.
That's amazing. And one more follow-up question on that. Do you ever think about that? I mean, like you were fifth and sixth grade before, you know, really reading was unlocked for you, and you started to devour books that way. Have you thought about where you would be now if you didn't have that opportunity to learn to read?
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I part of me, like, I think about it. I'm like, I feel like I was still would have gone to college, and like eventually I would have learned how to read. But I feel like I would do like the way I push myself to like always, if there is an obstacle, I try to find a way to get around that obstacle or like break down that obstacle. But I feel like I wouldn't have had that like determination or like that grit to do it. I would have just been like, this is how life is. Like, these are the resources. Like, if this is what they tell you, this is what you like, this is what happens. But I think just being like knowing that there's always resources out there. 'Cause like if I didn't go, like if no one came to my grandmother and was just like, oh, there's this thing called Kumin, or like my aunt didn't go to Teach for America and was like, there's these things called charter schools, and like their whole job or like their whole mission is just, we're gonna go into low income neighborhoods where like the public schools or like any of school, these kids aren't getting the resources that they need, and we're gonna give them the resource that they need to go to like a good top care college, even if it's SUNY, CUNY, whatever, just go to college. I think that's the opener. It's like the resources are there. It's just who knows about them.
It's interesting. We're going to come back to that in a minute, I think, with an application. But Justin, how about you? When you look back on your experience, and sort of think about that, how do you think that has shaped where you are now and who you are now?
Yeah, so, I think, when I look back and kind of think about some of the major challenges, I kind of really think back to like, I think more like the benchmark grades when, these teachers really had to decide on whether or not, students were going to move forward or be held back and stuff. And, I think I do really kind of remember, like, I think a lot of students do get like left behind kind of in that system, where if they're not necessarily achieving, the literacy level that's needed or the reading level, writing level that's needed, they do get held back a whole entire grade, right? And so I think for me, having friends of mine being held back a grade, or meeting other students who were in grades above me, who are then like held back, that was a big, I guess, just like opener for wide or eye opener for me at least. Just because, I think in terms of the public system, the public school system, and underfunding of resources, we kind of fail many students to kind of reach the standardized level that we hope that they get, or that they hope that they achieve. And in many ways, it makes it a bigger challenge when we do, hold them back and make them repeat a whole entire year, right? And I kind of look back at that because, at the time, I was working to be like a really, really good student. I was trying to, get straight A's every day and things like that. But part of the reason I am, at the position I'm at today, is because of like the academic enrichment program that really, came to my school and really picked me up. And it was a special opportunity, and And it's something that I wish any other student would have had the opportunity to go to, because, at the end of the day, when I look back at it, I don't think I'm any more qualified than any of the students that I was with during, my elementary and middle school years, right? It was literally, by luck or like a blessing that came out of nowhere that, the academic enrichment program, chose me as a student to attend their program, right? And, when I think about it, I just wish that other students had that same opportunity, because they could have been attending schools like UPenn or any other college, but whether they're attending college or not right now, it was really those small moments where a third party education resource came in and agreed to teach us everything that was being left out. Had they had those opportunities, I think a lot of other doors would have been open. So, yeah, I mean, I think definitely looking back, I'm trying to think of like, what else would I have done differently? I think obviously I probably would have paid more attention to reading. I wasn't reading a lot of books, back then, and it wasn't really until the academic enrichment program where we were reading, high school level books or college level books. And that's just something that, I don't even remember going to the library much, growing up. And, I think that there's that component that's missing in like everyday life now, right? Like students nowadays, I guess don't have the opportunities to really pick up books or really zone in on grammar and literacy as much as we want them to,
And before I jump back to Tamara, I'd love for you to make an application here. So, given your experience, what advice would you have for teachers or for parents, as it relates to the schooling experience? Like I said, just from your own experience, Justin, what would you want to say to teachers and parents?
I think there's definitely I really encourage them to look out for additional resources, right? And I don't want to say this like in terms of like I'm not trying to say that my teachers failed me in any ways like purposefully or anything like that, but I do think that there are certain obstacles, especially within public education system in Chicago, that kind of make it harder for students to then access other opportunities as well, right? I think I clearly remember like in eighth grade when everyone was sent this letter and said that, okay, well, you are eligible to apply for like certain types of high schools, right? You're eligible to apply to like selective enrollment, for example. And just, I think at the time I understood that, you're only eligible if you can reach a certain score, right? And I wish it wasn't that way, but nobody ever told my peers or my other student or other students in my classroom that, their grades mattered at the time, or that their reading and math scores mattered at the time, right? And so when it came time to apply to high school, right, it was kind of like, personally for me, I think my high school counselor kind of like, really dropped the ball with everyone else, right? I think I was given the guidance through my academic enrichment program. And that really helped me out in terms of what high schools I was applying to. But I also remember that there was no resources for other students in my classroom as well, right? Like I remember printing out different pamphlets, like printing out like 30 different copies of like pamphlets about like scholarships and high school applications, just so that I could pass them out to my peers, right? Just because I knew that my own school wasn't doing that for those students, right? So, I think for my advice for parents and for teachers is to really like extend themselves and, push to find these other resources, because, they do exist, but we're just not really given, these opportunities are really shown that these opportunities exist, period,
Yeah, thank you. And Tamara, how about for you? What advice would you have based on your experience for either teachers, parents, or both?
I think for teachers and parents, I would say kids are really adaptable. Just 'cause like it may seem like it's like a hard task to like go back and like teach a kid, but kids are really adaptable and like they want to learn. And like right now I know it's a really hard time to be teaching kids how to read because like they're either in school or they're out of school or like they're completely online. So like I don't even know how you would do that. But I think that kids are adaptable and they go with the flow. And like, if you're trying your best, you'll see the results. But also, just to echo what Justin was saying, like, there are other resources out there. So like, if a teacher, like, if you feel like you can't give your students exactly what they need, like, point the parents to that resource. So if you're a parent and you feel like your kids can use an extra more, there's resources. Some of them are free, some of them are expensive. Just like, there are programs and everything out there. You just have to really, really do the work and want it.
And that's a good connection to what, you know, students and teachers and parents are facing right now with unknowns about in school and out of school, a combination of both. It's a really, you know, compounded tough time, if you will. Just thank both of you for sharing your stories. It's been such an honor to have you on this episode. And as always, we'd really like to end with important takeaways. So this one is messages you would like to leave our listeners with. So why don't we start with Tamara on this one? What one thing, or maybe two, would you like to leave our listeners with from today's episode?
It kind of reminded me of a quote one of my teachers used to tell me in middle school, which was, you don't have to be great to start, you have to start to be great. And just like looking at my own story, or like Justin's story, anyone's story, like it's always scared to like take that step, or like you don't even know what that first step is. But I think once you start, there's no telling what you can be great at, like what you could do. Like I started not knowing how to read at all, and then I got into one of the best schools in the world. So I'm just. You know when they're like you're destined, like there's stats and everything who like can say this is like their path that you're supposed to be on, but no one knows your path except for you. And so I guess you just have to start it.
I love that. And that's so great for the listeners on this podcast too, because if we would relate that to understanding evidence-based practices and teaching kids how to read and how kids learn how to read, it's always one step at a time, and we're constantly growing and learning more about that. And Justin, how about you? Important takeaways for our listeners.
Yeah, I think, I'd really like, our listeners to really kind of dive into the history and really I guess just more like the data that's really supporting that, we need more resources and a lot more academic attention for public schools in general. And I think just kind of to echo off what Tamara said, right? Like we've made it to these schools and we made it to these places, but we are not like exceptional in that way, right? Like if I'm a firm believer, if High Jump Chicago or any other academic enrichment program had chosen any other student in my class, that they would also have the same access to opportunities as I did, right? And I just would really I guess give the advice to our readers to really, dive in to this and see what kind of like how it's very disproportionate and how the lack of resources really affects our students in public schools across the nation, right? I think me and Tamara share really interesting, very similar narratives in the process of how we got to where we are. But I think so many other students really deserve these opportunities as well. So just to keep that in mind.
Very wise words, Justin. And Tamara and Justin, again, to both of you, thank you so much for joining, and wish you best of luck. Thanks again for being just great partners with us here at Amplify as well. So thanks again. Thank you so much for listening. Are you ready to learn more? Make sure you join our free virtual literacy symposium, Literacy in a Changing World, Moving Forward Together. It's on Thursday, October 15th, and information is in the show notes. Also, be sure to stay connected by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and join our Facebook discussion group, Science of Reading the Community. Until next time, keep the hope, take the action, and stay in touch.